In her research, Shanti Feldhahn has discovered a lot of men and women interpret feedback differently.
We as women, we don't realize that when we say, oh, thanks for mowing the lawn, but you missed a spot, it does not bless. And we're thinking, but I'm just trying to help.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Walgemuth, author of Adorned. For June 30th, 2021, I'm Dana Gresh. Have you ever thought about kindness as something you need to practice? Even if you think you're a kind person, you might be surprised how often you forget to show affirmation and encouragement. Shanti Feldhahn and Nancy DeMoss Walgemuth are talking about some down-to-earth ways to practice kindness, especially in your marriage. Let's listen as Nancy gets us started.
Well, I've been so looking forward to having this conversation with Shanti Feldhahn and kind of diving into her book on the kindness challenge. So I've been alert to this, Shanti, as I've been in the scripture over the last few days. And this morning in my quiet time came to this verse in Proverbs 21, verse 21. Whoever pursues righteousness and kindness will find life, righteousness, and honor. Pursuing, you have to pursue it. Righteousness and kindness will find life, righteousness, and honor. It says to me that this is something worth pursuing, that you're going to be the beneficiary by pursuing kindness. And that's exactly what you have found in your research that led to this book, The Kindness Challenge. So let me back up and welcome you to Revive Our Hearts. Thank you for joining me in the studio for this conversation.
Absolutely.
It's gone too quickly.
Delighted.
And I want to just review, because I hope many of our listeners are going to take this kindness challenge.
I hope so.
And I hope they'll take advantage of a chance to get this book, which will give a lot more handles on how to do this. But just remind us the three parts of the kindness challenge for those who are wanting to do that.
So what you do is you pick one person that you want a better relationship with. And it could be your spouse. You don't even have to have a difficult relationship. You just might want to make it better. But if it is difficult, you know, this will be a good starting point. Or maybe it's your child or your stepfather who you just want to strangle him in Christian love, of course. Whoever you just have that relationship with, for 30 days, do three things. First, you say nothing negative to that person, either to them or about them to somebody else. And I know your listeners are so familiar with this because of the husband encouragement challenge that you've been issuing for years.
Listen, I'm really thankful for the reminder, though. And we talked yesterday about how to nix the negativity.
Yes.
And
exactly.
That is a very convicting thing, I think, for all of us to realize that we're negative in ways we didn't even see. And so you're helping us to see that and then to do something about it.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where you realize how much of that you were blind to, that was in there. So that's the first thing, is to say nothing negative to them or about them. Second thing, every day for 30 days, is to find one thing you can sincerely praise or affirm, and you tell them and you tell somebody else. So you're basically focusing not on what's worthy of driving you crazy, but you're focusing on what's worthy of praise, what's excellent and lovely and beautiful and noble and worthy of praise.
And this is such a biblical pattern.
Oh,
I'm thinking
of
Ephesians 4 that talks about those of us who are in Christ, there are things we're supposed to put off and things we're supposed to put on in their place. Mm-hmm. So if you just put off the negativity, but you don't replace it with proactive praise and encouragement, you're missing part of the equation.
Exactly. And then the other thing you're supposed to put on, and the other thing you do for 30 days, the third thing is to do an action. Take some action of generosity, of kindness towards this person. Something little. I mean, just a little day-to-day kind of thing. And those are very simple steps for 30 days. And yet we found that 89% of relationships improved.
And I would have think some of those relationships improved a lot.
A lot, yes. There were some dramatic. And we actually... We had 750-something people going through the study group on this over the last couple of years. And we actually had a small subset of about, I want to say it was almost two dozen couples who were going through this because one of them had an affair.
Wow.
I mean, there were some broken relationships involved in this process. And not everybody completed the 30-day kindness challenge, but of those who did, there were some tremendous turnarounds. mostly just because one person, because it's usually was very one-sided. The other person didn't even know they were doing this 30-day
kindness
challenge.
So you don't have to wait for your heart person or your mate or whoever to do
this. No, this was usually actually one-sided because they didn't want the other person to discount what they were trying to do. You're only saying that because she told you to, you know? So they often didn't even tell the other person. And yet we saw that when it was this one-sided effort at kindness over and over, unconditionally, undeserved, it really has the potential. It's not certain. It wasn't 100%, but 89% of the time, it softens the other person's heart. And it really changes you. It changes how you feel about the other person. So that negative stuff could still be there, but suddenly you see all this stuff that is worthy of praise you just didn't even see before.
I'm thinking about Titus 3 and how this is such a picture of God's love and his kindness toward us. It talks about we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. That's a description of the person who's without Christ.
Yeah.
That's who we were in our hearts. But verse 4, but when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy. Wow, we need that reminder a lot, not just time to time, but daily. We need to preach the gospel to ourselves and realize I did not deserve God to be kind to me. I mean, I was saved at the age of 4, and you know, you think how much could that description have fit me as a 4-year-old? Well, scripture says that's who we were from Christ.
Yeah.
But God sent his loving kindness, his mercy, his tenderness, his grace toward me when I did not ask for it. I didn't deserve it. He did it anyway, and that's what is changing my life. Well, then, as God's people,
how can we not extend that to others? You know, you said something in the last program that it's all about pride. It really is all about pride. That how can we not? It's because somehow we think we're so much better. And we would never say that out loud. And we don't even think that consciously.
Right.
But that's what's there underneath the surface. And it's one of the things I found that we have to root out. If we're truly going to become kind people, we have to get over the delusion that we already are kind people. Because I will tell you, as I was starting this research, I'm like, but I already am kind. You know, kindness is a value to me. And I can guarantee every single person listening to this, kindness is a value to you. You think you are kind. You think you're loving, and you are in some ways. And at the same time, you have no idea how often you are unkind and negative and not showing that praise and affirmation as much as you think you are.
We don't realize how others hear us or see us or how we come across to them. And then I think we just get in these patterns that, you know, and sometimes we don't have mirrors in our lives to show us. This is one of the things I'm loving about marriage is that now I have the gift of a husband who loves me dearly and wants me to be like Jesus. So when I'm coming across in a way that is not kind, he will gently, kindly be a mirror to me.
Good for him.
I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. I need that in my life.
Here's where I put on my analyst hat and think back to the studies that I've done of how men think. And there's a lot of women listening to this goes, my husband does the same thing, but he doesn't do it gently or kindly.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
I get
that.
And I get that too, because here's really what a lot of us as women, we often truly miss that when we're seeing that anger, when we're seeing a withdrawal, when we're seeing that guy going fine and, you know, walking away, often we don't realize it has been triggered by something unkind that we have done without intending.
He may be reacting to something that we didn't even realize.
Yeah. And certainly that we didn't intend, which is one reason that this second, the element that I know that is sort of a big deal for many of us as women, where we want to be affirming. It's so critical for us to actually practice it, because otherwise we just don't do it as often as we think we do.
So let's talk about that. We talked in the last program about putting off the negativity.
Mm, yes.
But now you're saying we need to practice the power of positive praise.
Yes.
Of affirmation and encouragement. And good night. We all know, I think, how much it means to us to receive praise and affirmation and encouragement. We want that. And sometimes we feel starved for that, but we're not quite as quick to see the need to give it to others.
Well, we kind of do see the need, and we don't realize it stays trapped inside our heads.
So we're thinking it, but it's not coming out of our mouths.
It's actually really funny. When we did the surveys, we actually had some really interesting dynamics on the survey, because the average person, there were 750 people or so in our study group. And the average person, when they started the 30-day kindness challenge, we said, okay, this person who you're going to do this for, how often do you share, praise and affirmation? How often do you do that? And the average answer was, maybe 2-3 times a day. That was kind of the gut level feeling that most of us have. And then you actually start doing the kindness challenge, and where you have to do it at least once a day, you have to know that you did it. And everybody goes, oh my word, I'm not doing it 2-3 times a day. I'm doing this 2-3 times a week, maybe, because so often it stays trapped in our heads. And I'll give you an example. This just happened on Friday night, much to my embarrassment, where I drove into the driveway and Jeff had gotten home before me. And he had been at some meetings and he got a sort of a desire to, oh, I'm home early, so I'll just mow the lawn and I'll put all the pine straw down and I'll do all that stuff that you do in the spring in Atlanta, right? And and he was so excited because A, he got to make the lawn look nice, and B, he's like a little kid who's wanting to make his mom happy. Like, he just, most men
wanting to please you.
Most men inside, they just want to please their wives, right? So I drive into the driveway at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I think, wow, that looks really nice. I keep driving. I park the car, I go inside, and I start working. I start doing whatever it was I was doing. And literally, it was like 10 o'clock at night. We're lying in bed, and Jeff says, just out of the blue, so did you notice anything today?
Wow.
What, honey? What? Did you notice anything? Oh my word. The lawn. It was beautiful. Thank you so much for spending hours in 90 degree weather mowing the lawn and putting down pine straw and putting on weed killer and all that stuff. Thank you so much for doing that. And I thought, I noticed the fact that he had done it. I just didn't say it.
Yeah.
And I will tell all the women listening to this, ladies, this is one area where if you do nothing else in your marriage, and I literally mean that, nothing else, if you will learn the power of two words, it has the power to transform your relationship with your husband. Those words are thank you.
Yes.
We, for years, had been studying.
Can I just stop and say our engineer who is helping us?
Our male engineer
is nodding his head vociferously. So we have a man testimony here.
Yes.
That this is a big deal. And if my husband were sitting in the room, or Jeff, they would be doing the same thing.
They'd be nodding their heads. Yeah. And here's the reality. It's so funny because, when we were doing the studies of men and the studies of women, and now this is my 8th big national study that we've done, right? And so we've talked to a lot of people. We've surveyed a lot of people. And we've found that in general, now not always, but in general, the worry or the question in our heart as women tends to be different from that of men. And the question in our hearts is essentially, am I lovable, right? And am I worthy of being loved for who I am on the inside? Well, the question, the worry in your husband's heart or your son's is a different worry normally. It's not, am I worthy of being loved for who I am on the inside? It's, am I any good at what I do on the outside?
Mm-hmm.
It's, am I able? Am I adequate? Do I measure up? And they're looking to you, the most important woman in their life, for the answer to that question. Now, obviously we think, well, they should look to God. Well, yes, they do. But guess what? God put you there in that relationship to help answer that question. And so we, as a research team, I was like, okay, if my husband's greatest need truly is to know that I think he does measure up, that I appreciate him, that I respect him, that I believe in him, what do I say? Because for me as a woman, I love to hear, I love you. I mean, that just lights me up because it speaks to that question. So what do you say to your man? You know, I started by following Jeff around the house going, oh, honey, I respect you so much. And after a while, my poor husband was like, okay, you know, I know what you're trying to do and I appreciate it, but it doesn't have the same ring to it. So I went actually on a bit of a obsessive quest to find out what it is.
What communicates that?
That says the equivalent of I love you to your man, because I love to hear that. But what is it? And we finally found it. We had done this study of the happiest marriages for an earlier book. And what is it that the most happily married couples do differently? And in that survey, we found that if you say thank you in the little day-to-day things of life, here's what it says. Thank you for mowing the lawn and putting the pine straw down. It says, I noticed what you did on the outside and it was good and I appreciate it. And that just, it fills
a
man
up. And I appreciate you.
And I appreciate you and what you do for me. And that, we don't realize as women, we think of that as in some way like a minor thing. Like it's nice, but it's a minor thing. Because for us, we really want to hear how much he adores us. And I'm so glad I married you. And we want him to come up to us for no reason at the kitchen sink and say, and put his arm around us and say, I'm so glad I married you. I love you so much. If he comes up to us and says, thanks for putting the dishes in the dishwasher. It's like nice, but it doesn't speak to us. And it's a shock for us to find out that when we come up to him at the kitchen sink and say, thanks so much for putting the dishes in the dishwasher. For him, that's like, oh, that's oxygen. Like it speaks to every little particle of his being. And if we say, I love you so much. I'm so glad I married you. He's like, thanks. That's nice.
Interesting.
It's just fascinating. Yeah. And because of that, we just don't do it enough. We don't know what speaks to that heart.
I will say that one of the really sweet things in our very new marriage still, and I hope we never get over it, is both of us are very intentional about saying thank you for little everyday things. And I do hope we don't forget it. I'm grateful for this reminder, but, and things that the other does regularly or frequently. And so, you know, my husband thanks me virtually every day for making the bed. I thank him for taking out the trash. I thank him for unloading the dishwasher, for loading the dishwasher, for little things. And it's not like a big, huge deal, but I don't ever want to get to where we don't notice or think about those things. And my husband loves anticipating something I'm going to He wants to do it before I ask for it.
Yeah.
Or before I see that it needs to be done. And nothing makes him happier than to anticipate and then to find out that I noticed it, that I saw it, that I appreciated it. He's not doing it to be noticed, but it means a lot when I say, honey, thank you so much for getting to that.
Well, and it's interesting that you say he's not doing it to be noticed, because I bet if he's like most men, there is some of that in there. It's interesting. I had a man, actually, I've had several men use this exact analogy, which I think is fascinating, from back in the day, where they said, you know, we're all those little boys inside who, you know, when you were in kindergarten and first grade and in craft class, you would make an ashtray for your mom. Back in the day, younger people are going, what? No, really, we did. In craft class, we would make an ashtray. Today, they probably make vases or pen holders or something. But back in the day, it was an ashtray. And these men said, these are big, tough, strong, confident men, right? And they say, back when I was in first grade, I would just be so eager to come home with my ashtray to give it to my mom because I wanted to hear that. That's amazing.
Look what you did.
Yeah. And, you know, of course, it's completely befuddled. It's all wonky on one side and the paint doesn't work, you know. But inside, I'm still that little boy who's handing to the most important woman in my life, only it's now my wife, this thing that I've done. And I really want her to appreciate it and go, look what you did, as opposed to, oh, look what you did, but it's all wonky on one side. You know, like you didn't quite do that right. We as women, we don't realize that when we say, oh, thanks for mowing the lawn, but you missed a spot.
That does not bless.
It does not bless. And we're thinking, but I'm just trying to help. And I guarantee you there are women listening to this in shock going, what? Wait, what? And it's for us as a woman, for most, and again, this is most, not all, but for most women, that wouldn't really bother. Oh, I missed a spot. Oh, thanks. I'll go get that. Mm-hmm. As opposed to for a guy, you don't realize that what you're doing is you're actually saying, you're not intending this, but you're actually saying, oh, what you did on the outside, it wasn't good enough. You failed.
Right.
And
ouch.
We would never intend to send a painful message. We have no idea that's what we're doing. And so it makes it, a lot of the guys when I would say, okay, what do I do instead? You know,
right.
Like, because what happens if he did miss a spot? Mm-hmm.
Tell us the answer to this question.
Yes. And actually most of the men, it really comes down to several of them said the next day rule, apply the next day rule. There's two pieces to the next day rule, which is that thing that they missed, that they didn't do correctly, they put the dishes in wrong in the dishwasher, whatever it is that thing important enough the next day, going to be important enough the next day that it's worth hurting their feelings today?
Does it really matter?
Right. If it's worth hurting their feelings today, then okay, so be it. Just know that you're hurting their feelings as opposed to being completely clueless about the fact that you're doing that. But then the second thing is, if at all possible, the second piece of the next day rule, if at all possible, is say it the next day. And actually let them enjoy their triumph of whatever it is that they wanted to do to please you. Just appreciate it instead of, you know, sort of subtly saying you failed, which we don't realize we're doing. Just appreciate it that day. And then the next day, say, oh, you know what? Let me show you something. Like, and I've realized I have to do this with my son. You know, he's learning. He's an eighth grader. He doesn't do everything perfectly. It makes a huge difference if I say, thanks for putting the dishes in the dishwasher. I really appreciate it. And I say nothing about the fact that he stacked them on top of each other. They're not going to get clean properly. But then the next day, because he's going to do that over and over and over again, that has to get corrected. I'll say, oh, hey, buddy, before you start that, let me show you something and see if the jets of the water go this way. So if you stack them this way, it'll clean both of them, not just one of those cups. Okay, thanks, Mom.
And then you haven't wounded him in the process.
Yeah, without realizing it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I can also guarantee there are some women listening to this who are rolling their eyes and thinking, oh, please get over it, guys. Like, you're so oversensitive. And I would just encourage, if that's you, because that used to be me, very much me.
Mm.
And I would respond that way. Oh, please. You know, okay, pat your ego. Fine. I mean, I hate to say it, but that's what I was thinking. And really realize, you know what? If it's true that God made us different, it shouldn't surprise us that we have different insecurities. And that means by definition, different things will hurt the other person than would hurt you.
Yeah.
And recognizing it's a legitimate hurt. This is the way God has created us. You have an opportunity to build up instead of tear down.
And that's the way of love.
Yes,
is to say,
exactly.
That person is not like me and that's okay.
Yeah.
I know we have some listening who have experienced deep betrayal, especially in a marriage relationship.
Yeah.
And they're thinking, I don't know how I can praise this person, express respect, admiration, appreciation. I have been so wounded.
Yeah. It's interesting. The examples that I hear, and again, you know, there were a couple dozen people in this study group who had had the worst betrayal, that their spouse had cheated on them. And it was interesting. Some of the examples that we heard from those individuals were so powerful because, first of all, as I think we said before, these were people who decided to make a one-sided effort to do the 30-day kindness challenge. They had been the ones hurt, right? They had been hurt.
Right.
But they did not want to let that be the end of the story.
They were turning good for evil.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And they knew that they had a chance to do what God would ask them to do, whether or not the other person responded at all, that they could stand before the Lord and said, I know that I did what you asked me to do. And so it was interesting that in those situations, there's nothing about that person that, you know, deserves your kindness. But like you said earlier, we don't deserve the kindness of Jesus right. in all the mistakes we've made. And the encouragement for those people is that when you've been so hurt, yes, don't say that that's an illegitimate hurt. It's legitimate. Mm-hmm. That's there. But I can almost guarantee you, there are some wonderful, good, excellent, lovely, and worthy of praise things that are there also. I'm thinking of one woman that I was talking to who her husband had a pornography addiction. Very, you know, one of those cases where I think he knew in the back of his mind he was hurting his wife, but he just denied. Like, mm-hmm. it's my issue. I'm dealing with it. You shouldn't be hurt by it. Common issue. You know, I've yeah. studied that even. And so she was like, okay, he doesn't get this. It's incredibly painful, but I'm going to do, you know, what I can do. That thing had basically taken over their marriage because that was all she could focus on was her understandable hurt. She started to do the 30-day kindness challenge and she started to see, you know what? There is all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. He's an amazing father. He comes home from work and I am tired from, she has a medical condition herself and I'm tired. And he takes the boys out in the yard and he shows them how to hit the bat, or he shows them how to do this, or he plays hoops, or he just sits on the couch and plays video games with them or whatever. And instead of saying, well, I wish he'd be in here helping with the dinner instead of playing video games, she goes, he's investing time with his boys. And she started to turn it around and see, you know, this one thing, it was a pretty big thing, right. but it didn't need to define them. And so that's what she started focusing on. And she realized within, it wasn't even 30 days. I think in her case, pretty common for the study group, it was actually within about 2 weeks. She started to see this massive difference in their relationship because she wasn't letting that one thing define them. And she was seeing all this other stuff that really was worthy of praise. It wasn't new. It was there all along.
That's Shanti Feldhahn reminding you that your spouse may have far more positive qualities than you realize. She's been talking with Nancy DeMoss-Wahlgemuth about the difference your kindness can make. You know, the kindness you extend to us when you support the ministry really helps us bring meaningful conversations like the one you've just heard. When you make a donation of any amount to Revive Our Hearts, you'll receive a copy of Shanti's book, The Kindness Challenge. And as you read it, you'll identify patterns of negative, unkind words. And Shanti will show you how to flip that around and focus on kindness. Visit reviveourhearts.com to give a gift today or call us at 1-800-569-5959. And don't forget to ask for that book, The Kindness Challenge. That's 1-800-569-5959. And let me remind you, if you'd like to participate in a 30-day kindness challenge, you'll have the opportunity to do that with Revive Our Hearts. It starts tomorrow, and it runs through the entire month of July. It's going to be so easy to join us. Our team will go live on social media at 10 a.m. Eastern Time every weekday in July. They'll share a short devotional focused on what the Bible teaches about kindness. You can join us live or watch and share later. We'll open our Bibles and remember that we can be kind to others because Christ has been kind to us. Find us on Facebook to follow the Kindness Challenge. Tomorrow, Shanti Feldhahn will show us how to use our words with generosity. Please be back for Revive Our Hearts. Helping you display kindness in your marriage. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss-Wahlgemuth is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.